Revelation 12, verse 9. Revelation 12 is about the woman in the heavens. And, you know, we've just barely studied enough of the stars to know that that's the woman that this is talking about. It's talking about Virgo. Before her is the dragon, which brings with him a third of the stars of heaven and all that. And we'll get into that in its due time. But I want to start in verse... In 7, there's Michael is fighting against the dragon, and the dragon prevailed not, neither was any place found anymore in heaven. And in verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And that's our first clue, is that the entire world is deceived, including us, if we judge by our senses. There's nothing that judgment by the senses can be right, because it's all part of the deception of Satan. There's no fear that's right, there's no opinion that's right, there's no glory that's right, there's no tribulation that's right, because all of it is judged by the senses, and that's why we have to go beyond the senses. We have to go into the realm of faith. Now, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, and this is the voice that you have to hear. You can't proceed anymore on the study of Revelation until you hear this loud voice. Now, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in earth. Excuse me. Rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Now, this is the first clue to understanding Revelation. You must understand that you no longer dwell on the earth. If you believe Colossians and, well, the Gospels, we do not dwell on the earth. Our dwelling is hid with Christ in God. And therefore, we're not subject to the curse. We're not subject to have the fruit of our labors cursed if we're dwelling in heaven, if we're dwelling on the mercy seat. We're not subject to have the fruit of our labors cursed if we're dwelling in Christ, in God, on the mercy seat.
Would you say that again?
We're not subject to having our labors cursed. Because if you're dwelling not there, there's only two alternatives. There's no neutral ground. You're either dwelling on the mercy seat in Christ, hid with Christ in God, or you're dwelling on the earth. You understand that? There's no neutral ground. Now, if you're not dwelling with Christ,
then the converse is true.
Then, woe. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Now, a time, times, and a half a time is 3.5 years. And it's the mystical time from the point in which Christ was baptized until the crucifixion. And in you, it's the mystical time from when you first begin to understand what baptism means, your death, all the other crap before that doesn't count. But once you know that baptism means your death, then there's a mystical 1,260 days, or 3.5 years, or 42 months, it's said in all three of them, until the end comes. You got it? This 3.5 years is the great mystery time. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water, and water is always here as judgment. Water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And that's the temptation always in the body of Christ, is that the woman, the body, would be carried away in judgment, destroyed by the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, that's us, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. All right, you got that picture? Everybody got that clearly? We're the remnant of the seed. The dragon is making war against us. Got it?
And the dragon represents Satan.
Satan. Well, it's Satan, and it also represents the Antichrist. Okay, now comes the interesting part. Now comes a snapshot of Burnett, and Laura, and Ed, and Gary, and Sherry, and Mike, and Crystal, and Powell, and Ole, and Harry, and Ed, and Ed.
Me. You know, my color-coded Bible, I've been getting a lot of revelation. But this is really wild. It has grace, judgment, holiness, and sinful. But anyway, the imagery for Satan is always real shit. A dragon, beast. I mean, there's no, you know, horse.
Serpent.
Yeah, it's nothing neat. It's always something, you know, shit.
Okay.
There's a black one.
And I stood upon the sand of the sea. Now, the only way you'll see when we study the rest of Revelation that you are standing on the sea, or the sand of the sea, is you're above judgment. The sea always represents the human race, but it also represents judgment. You're standing above judgment. You're no longer subject to judgment. And the moment you're no longer subject to judgment, then this is what you see. And I saw a beast. And the beast is you. You can't go any farther unless you understand what we're about to read is a description of you.
So as long as you're still
you're subdued in the sea, in the sea of judgment, then you will always describe this beast to be somebody over there in the Holy Land, just as you describe the temple to be something over in the Holy Land. Because it can't have anything to do with you.
Fish in the sea analogy.
Yeah, you are pulled. Yeah, we are made fishers of men. They are pulled out of the sea. What happens when a fish is pulled out of the sea? He dies. Okay, now watch. This is going to get wild. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads. There's a head for each day of linear time. Okay? One of the heads is the Sabbath, which is Christ. Can you hear that?
What? Say what?
You have seven heads. And ten horns. Now what are the horns? No, that's the crowns. What are the horns? That's the crowns.
City?
No. The crowns, the horns are the strengths. The horn is always the strength. It's the same word that, it's a weird word, but it's like when you're on the desert and it's and there's like a sunset, but there's a hole in the cloud and you see the ray of the sun, that's called the horn. When you're the other word for horn, I mean the other meaning of horn is your posterity, your strength. Okay?
Oh, is that what some religious people wear horns on a chain?
Who knows? Now there's seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns, on each of those horns, there are ten crowns.
So are there 70 horns?
Yes.
And 70 crowns?
Yes.
Okay.
Therefore there is a Sanhedrin for each of the 7 days of 1 year time.
And Sanhedrin is 70? You think that was enough to get it? You think that would be enough to win?
Okay. Now, these are the counselors and the sorceries that you've learned from birth as defense mechanisms, as ways of dealing with stimuli, as ways of dealing with problems. I mean, they are your counselors, and they walk continually, and they walked unimpeded. Almost no one ever gets to use all these horns and crowns because they stay in day one or day two or day three or day four. It's rare that anyone gets to the point of day seven. And what happens at day seven? That's when one of the horns, one of the heads is wounded unto death at the crucifixion. That's why the crucifixion always takes place on the seventh, on the place of the skull. Can you hear that a little bit? All right. Think of your life as a progression from the time or the age of Liam all the way up to the age of Harry.
While this thing's down in the sea, you can't see. It's right. Only when it raises itself.
It's all into the sea. It's all into the human race. The sea is always the human race. It's all buried.
That fits into, the analogy too, when you're a fish, you can't, don't know you're in the ocean.
Right. So that's why Revelation can't be understood by all these idiots, because they haven't experienced the cross. You can't understand Revelation until you've come out of the sea and experienced that you are crucified.
And we've also had the blessing of experiencing each other's heads and crowns and all that stuff.
Right.
So we don't each have to, it's like it's...
But listen to me.
Yours counts for mine.
Listen to me. As you walk through life, the only thing you've really done in life that has anything of value, it's not raising kids, it's not being nice to people, it's none of those things. The only thing that has any value is that you've seen the vanity of one of these heads and their horns and their crowns at a time. Until you finally come to the vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And then you see the cross. Can you hear that?
I know in me, if it weren't, well, for everybody, but the first person I think of is Larry. If it weren't for having been in Bible study so many times with Larry, or at feasts or fasts, so many times with Larry, and seeing what he does, then I wouldn't be able to hear. I wouldn't stop. Somebody's word wouldn't stop me had I not experienced that in him.
It's a blessing to make it all the way through the heads, at least, and some get hung up, but never see him past your second head.
Yeah, most of the people on the earth are way back there in dealing with one or the head number one or the head number two or and those particular, and it, what they're trying to do is learn sorcery better. And that's what all of the how-to things are. It's all learning how to be a better sorcerer. Now this is cosmic, this isn't... Okay? Having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns, ten crowns. Now there's a whole lot of shit going on here. Just as you've seen your life change. Right? And certain of your sorceries, and are at least the manipulation of those types of sorceries, they've left. You've left them in the lurch. You've left them back there. Now you've moved on to new ones. upon each one of the heads, there's a name, and that name is blasphemy.
Because it speaks against
the foundation. Okay, and all of the consulars, all of the horns, and all of the crowns on the horns, all speak against. A lot of these things have to do with culture and gods of your fathers and high place activity and all of that stuff. I mean, there's a whole panoply of crowns and horns that makes up you. But at any given moment in time, there's really, the Sanhedrin is always sacrosanct. There's only 70. All right. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Always a leopard in the scriptures is the beast or the animal that dwells in the high places. That's, okay? The beast was only a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. Now the bear is always symbolic of the kingdoms of this world, the wicked ones. And the reason his feet are, it's because that's the only place that the beast can walk, is the kingdoms of this world.
It's funny because the picture of that is, a bear's paw is really, it's like two cat's paws, but in each one, but it's big fleshy, non-retractable claws.
Leopard?
It's a leopard always walks in the high place. Huh?
Kingdoms of this world.
Yeah, like seven.
The what? Kingdoms of this world.
Yeah. And his mouth is the mouth of a lion. Now the word there for lion is interesting. It's not the young lion or the lion of Judah. This is the old.
Toothless.
Impotent lion that's toothless.
All he has is roar.
The only thing he has is the roar.
He's got to hope that
he scared the crap out of you.
If that works, he's okay.
Sounds like the lion in Wizard of Oz.
Okay, so you got it? And I saw, through the passage of time, one of the head of the seventh day. Okay? As it were, wounded to death on the cross. Buried.
Now, where'd you say the seventh day?
Huh? That's just what I believe this says.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Because it's the head of the seventh day.
You mean the Sabbath?
Oh, wait a minute. Let's go back here. Then so what you're saying is that this is the head of the seventh day. Okay,
now watch.
This is the seventh day that comes to all.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. It doesn't look like he's dead. He's walking around here doing shit in the name of Harry.
Curing cancer and stuff.
Yeah, he's walking around doing shit in the name of Crystal. Going on little crystal trips.
Usually.
Crystal blue persuasion.
Going on little sherry trips. Going on a whole lot of little brunette trips.
Take two suitcases.
He can still be nice and sincere.
Yeah, he's a sincere beast.
As of head and hair.
And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. All the world wondered after itself, after himself. Do you understand?
I'm not really dead.
No.
It just seemed that way. I'm not really dead.
Yeah, they're not even aware of it.
Look, I'm not dead.
The whole human race, it says that Jesus Christ was the last Adam. If he was the last Adam, who are you? You're only showing yourself as if you're still a deity, judging for yourself. Okay? All the world wondered after this beast. Because it's the beast of self-deity. and they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. Now, they don't do it on purpose, but they worship. Worship means to give breath to. They give importance to anything that gives life to the beast. You know, your entire life, you've given importance to things which made you feel alive. Peace?
Any kind of alive.
Any, doesn't matter what it is. Sometimes it's drugs, sometimes it's alcohol, sometimes it's another person, sometimes a kid, sometimes it's good grades, sometimes it's anything. You worship, but it's always the dragon that's giving the life to the beast. Can you hear that? And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Oh, look at me. Who is like me? I'm special. What did you think I was going to say, Mike?
Something about all or something.
All right. Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? In other words, you believe you're bulletproof, you're invincible. And if you don't believe that, you believe there's nothing that can help you. Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? There was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's all.
3.5 years.
3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. Everything he said.
So this is the mouth of the lion, the old toothless lion. This is all he's got?
Could it be read that, and there was given to him a mouth, a spokesperson? it could happen.
A media liaison.
An engineer.
Okay.
And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle. And them that dwell in the heavenlies, is what it says. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, the only way, I mean, this is either true or you have to believe in this comic book theology. You know, not too far, it's probably like a couple miles down the street, you can go to Dallas Theological Seminary. They're the father of the comic book theology, the yo-yos. But I believe it's far more cosmic.
Yeah, they don't think it's cosmic. This is black and white. I mean, so.
Well, what else could it be when it's really
come to hearing? Just literalize the hell out of it.
And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. In other words, every person on the face of the earth is subject to this beast. The one that's masquerading as you. The one that's getting this great advice in his mind. The one that has his great opinions and concerns.
Bites.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Isn't that? Tell me. The only way you don't worship that sucker is if you've been crucified and your life was hid with Christ and you no longer worship this beast any longer. You don't give him the time of day. Doesn't matter. All flesh, all beasts are the same. They all say the same thing. They all have the same. It's just common beastly flesh. That's why I get so bored with it. Oh, God is showing me something through this. No, he's not. Oh, look at. And you just wear the little jewels around the beast to make it look like you're. And all who dwell upon the earth worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have ear to hear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed by the sword, or with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now, all of a sudden, now we got this one beast, the beastie. And then I looked I saw all that. I thought the warfare was over. But then I looked and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns, like a lamb. Okay, now we've got the Christian beast. Now the beast gets converted. And I see another beast coming up. You got it? Now I'm a Baptist beast, or a Methodist beast, or a Trinity beast.
I'm a saved beast.
I'm a saved beast. Well, listen. Can you understand? You can't see the second beast until you've seen the end of the first beast. But that isn't the end. Then you got to see the second beast.
But you said that the first beast was the Saturn beast, the seventh?
What?
This one that you were talking about earlier, you said you thought it was the seventh beast, the seventh?
He was the one that was killed on the seventh day, when time ends. You can't see him until then. You think it's over because you've gotten religion. And then you look around and, okay, now there's a second beast coming. And that's the one with the tooth that looks like a lamb.
A little mitre.
Okay.
You got it?
Yeah, my sister's Baptist, and we have lots of talks.
Okay. And all of them are the same. I've talked, literally thousands of those people. And it's always the same. It doesn't matter whether they're a seminary professor or a sister. It's all the same.
Well, they use the second beast to cover up the first beast.
Okay, now the second beast, you've got to see him as in you. The first beast was you. Now the second beast is a religious you. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Understand? Now he's a lamb. Now it's the salvation of the isolated self.
Yeah, still preaching self.
Still preaching. Salvation of the isolated self. You got it?
I don't know either of the two. I mean, this that one says the second.
The second beast is the religious beast.
The better beast, the good beast. In
the righteous.
Yeah.
Which is probably
the righteous beast. Yeah, he's the one that's going to get the whole world.
I know what I'll do. I won't war with this guy, God. I'll come on.
The first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh a fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, that's probably the only thing left that we haven't yet seen. But I'm not sure about that. So I don't want to say that it isn't finished. But I think that we're going to see that kind of apparent power in the charismatic movement.
When they did built the fires, sure. Elijah had his guy, his stuff, and those guys, they brought fire down, didn't they? For sure, many times. Yeah.
Okay.
You mean literally?
And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now what is the image? The image is your idea of what you should be. What is your idea of being a good Christian? Now, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. And that's what you do when all of your concerns, all of your self-righteous concerns about your sincerity, all that's happened is that this dragon is giving life to the image of the beast. Can you understand this? This is real simple, but it's like...
You mean the dragon or the sheep?
What?
Lamb or the dragon? The dragon's giving
him. Yeah, it's always the dragon. That's what it said.
to the land. It was a beast. Beast land.
And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. That's where it says they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service. And he causeth all, both, remember what I've told you, that there's only two left, the bride and the whore. The bride worships Christ only in the abandonment of self, taking no thought for tomorrow. The whore worships cause and effect. And if I do this, this will happen. And that's the mark, the hand and the mark in the forehead. It's the mark of cause and effect. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Says it in black and white, you're the Antichrist. It gives a description of all of your sorceries. And yet, 5 minutes from now, he will give credence to one of the sorcerers. That's why we must exhort one another daily while it is still called today. You must abandon yourself. Take no thought for your life. You must pick up the cross daily. That's the thing that defeats the beast. Now, back up to verse 10, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now go to Revelation 14, verse 12, and that'll define what that means. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now that's the test. The test of whether you've understood this is the patience of the saints. The patience of the saints is that you no longer are anxious about anything. You've rested. And that your works no longer lead you. Your works follow you. You understand the difference? You know, you're no longer led by an agenda. Yeah. Why would God do that? Because that's the only thing, the only way he can cause you to see than anything else is an attempt at self-deity. And this totally destroys all idolatry. Now, does everybody understand what we said tonight? If you understand it, you got to understand that you can't give credence to any more of the counselors up here.
One thing that's really happening in time and space is learning not to pay attention to it. You're just going, seeing it quicker if you do it or something.
Yeah. How long ere you attain to innocency is one of them. The other says, why do you continue to gad about trying to change your way? Another one says, if you're evil, be evil still. If you're filthy, be filthy still. I mean, all the other shit doesn't matter. You've lost it. That's gone.
Yeah, it's like the only reason you would try to change yourself or change anything would be to meet an image. Without that, then there is no desire to change.
Everybody understand? Okay, let's look at 2 Thessalonians in this light. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Is it possible that 13, 14, and 15 are talking about the alchemy of the prosperity gospel?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, but they're not only talking about that.
What is it referring to when it's talking about you won't be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast?
It's just what it says. You will not be able, you as a hunk of flesh, cannot, never have been able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. Because it's cause of the mark of the beast is the mark of the whore. The only thing you've ever done by your efforts was worship the whore. You've not been able to buy or sell without that mark. Understand?
And it's on your right hand because that's what you...
What you're doing, and it's in your mind because that's what you're thinking. It's not a something that will happen. It's a what always has been. You all are too quiet. Do you really understand what I've told you tonight? Go to Matthew first. Keep your finger in Thessalonians. Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the people, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Two different things. Number one is, what shall the sign of the thing that be when the temple is destroyed? And what are the signs of the end of the world? Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. All right. First part is, what are the signs? I don't want to get into that tonight. Verse 4, And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You know what that says? Many shall come in my name, saying, I have the anointing, and shall deceive many. Christ, the word Christ there simply means anointing. Now you all, since if you're not familiar with the charismatic movement, don't know how serious this is coming to pass right now. Every week, somewhere, there's a conference telling you to go there because there is the anointing.
Yeah, you know, that's what really gives me the creeps is I see these guys and they're all saying you have to go to this place or you have to mail this or you have to do this.
Or you have to
rather call. Than telling them right there where you are now is finished. It was finished 2,000 years ago. Die to your evil heart. It's always buy this, send this,
and Paul,
eat this.
Paul and Jan's pointing at this one and that one saying he has the anointing
on him. Listen to this one.
Boy, did he have the anointing on him.
Or the flow.
Can I watch? Now go up to verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, here is anointing, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ. But again, the word is anointing. You understand that? And false prophets that shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Now, can you imagine? I want you to just imagine for a minute. What would you do if I decided that we were going to have a series of guest speakers? Then we're going to have a guest speaker on how to receive...
I got crazy tonight. Yeah, J.W.
J.W.
That's like ridiculous. I mean, he's a fine man, but why would we have a guest speaker?
But my point is, we don't need any false things. We don't need something externally. I can't imagine one of us following one of these false Christs. It wouldn't compute. It wouldn't compute in our heads. Okay, let's go over here and we'll get the anointing. Okay, we'll go over there. And then next week we gotta go to over there and we'll have a plan go. Then next week
it's like an anointing Tupperware party.
Yeah.
Anointing
the week. Amway. All right.
24.
Now let's go to Second to Thessalonians.
That's the apostolic.
But the what goes on in your head, as far as that's concerned, is a little less obvious.
It's the same thing, though. Well, here is the goodie.
Life and all sorts of things.
Now we beseech you, brethren.
Where are we at here?
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by the Spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. The day of Christ means the final anointing. Okay? Now listen carefully to the next words, because if you hear them, they should scare you. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Uh-oh. The man of sin and the son of perdition have been revealed. We can identify him. All right. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Didn't show anybody else. He shows himself because he judges for himself good and evil. He makes all the decisions about what things should be. He makes all the decisions about what marriage should be like.
Is there a spotlight on me or something?
Yeah.
What business should be like? What raising children should be like? He puts himself into the temple and he raises himself up in the temple and he fills it. And he said, this is what I think. All of the theory or the stuff about, you know, the Hal Lindsey kind of theology, they forget that it says it shows himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Remember when we studied the great transgression? The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. Until he be taken out of the world. Anybody got any ideas who that is? To let here means to hinder. It's a Greek word that means to hinder. He who hinders this process is continuing to hinder it until he be taken out of the way. The hindering of the destruction. Who is that hinders the destruction? The Holy Spirit.
So,
let
in this case is what you think it is.
No, let is used two different ways in the Bible. One is to hinder and one is to open.
It's sort of like buying his time.
All right. And then that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his presence or coming. For even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and wonders, lying wonders. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of God, not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Now what's the lie? What's the strong delusion? Strongest delusion there is. What? Strongest delusion is yourself. All of the things that are attendant to self, your self-interests. And that is, the only way that can be revealed is that your self-interest will always come against it is finished. And that's why both are necessary. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. And hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Everybody understand Revelation 13 a little bit better?
Now what he's saying here is this is written to the elect, period.
Is it period? Okay, take a big guy.